Thanks for joining us for the executive series today. I'm talking to Dr. Mel Bridges, who is the chairman and CEO of Anatara Life Sciences. Mel, it's great to talk to you, and particularly about some of the fantastic scientific work that you're doing. But let's focus on your main product, which is Detach. Now, let's talk about the history of this product, because you're basically going through a regulatory process once again, having done a similar thing in the past. So this is a proven product, really, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. So just going backwards to the inception of the product itself, which is like a lot of breakthroughs in science, you know, like Pasteur, etc. There's a lot of serendipity around the discovery of Detach by Dr. Tracy Wynot, who's the co-founder with myself. So it's an extract of the pineapple root system. It contains a element called bromelain, so it's a natural extract. What we've discovered is that it has amazing therapeutic properties, particularly around all issues with regards to gastrointestinal disorders, including diarrhea. Not only in initially we started with pigs, because the product had been proven in pigs before in preventing diarrhea. A lot of people would go, well, you know, why would you want to worry about diarrhoea in pigs? Well, I tell you, for a pork producer anywhere in the planet, that's a very important issue, because 20%, so there's 1.6 billion piglets born every year around the planet, including Australia. 20% of those piglets die from diarrhoea-related diseases, which they currently throw, and this is the start of the problem, they currently throw antibiotics, even though the pigs mightn't be sick, the piglets aren't sick, they still throw antibiotics at them. They used to do that as a growth promotant, which is now not so much in Australia, but globally now, that's now, you know,
frowned upon.
It's not a recommended practice, and in fact, in a lot of countries now, that's been outlawed, using antibiotics as growth promotants. So what we have is a natural alternative. So what bromelain does is antibiotics, the way antibiotics work, so I'm going backwards a little bit, the way antibiotics work is that they attach to the bacteria and in doing so create what's now called antimicrobial resistance. This is, according to the World Health Organization, the Center for Disease Control in the United States, the most biggest issue facing mankind. It will surpass cancer as a cause of death within the next couple of decades. So this
that,
is a major
that in
issue.
Itself is a frightening prospect, isn't it? That we are now at that stage
point.
Of using antibiotics. Where,
overusing antibiotics. Where, starting in livestock.
Yeah. Indeed. And we've exhausted all of its capabilities.
Correct.
And now we're basically at that point where we are as exposed as we've been to these viruses or whatever.
Well, anything, bacteria, parasites, viruses, yeah.
What does this mean for the average person?
Well, it means a bit like I was telling you the story earlier about my next door neighbour who was admitted to hospital with a respiratory infection, and they threw every single antibiotic, including the last line of defence was considered an antibiotic called colistinin. It's now been breached. There's now bugs that are resistant to all antibiotics. And what we've recently discovered is that antibiotics they don't have to be exposed to antibiotics anymore. If a bacteria, let's focus on bacteria, is exposed to another bacteria that doesn't carry antimicrobial resistant genes, they can mutate one to the other. So it's quite frightening. So this is why the World Health Organization is saying we need to do something about this, and just inventing another antibiotic is not the answer. So at Anatara, that's where we fit into that jigsaw puzzle. We don't pretend that we're the total solution, but we're one of the answers to this problem, in that we've got a natural extract that doesn't create antimicrobial resistance, because the way bromelain works is so the way bacteria works is you ingest or breathe in, eat, whatever, swallow bacteria. What happens is that bacteria or virus or parasite sticks to your gut wall, to what they call receptor sites. When they do, that creates infection, then it multiplies, and then of course you go to your GP and he or she prescribes antibiotics, which just manifests the problem and creates antimicrobial resistance. The way our compound works is that it blocks those receptor sites. So what happens is as the bacteria comes, it still comes through the system, but because those receptor sites are blocked, the bacteria, viruses, parasites can't stick to the gut wall and therefore pass through unchallenged. So they don't create antimicrobial resistance. So we only have a potential solution for gut-related disorders. So we're not pretending we can do respiratory or viral bloodborne diseases. We've just got part of the jigsaw puzzle. But having said that, gut-related disorders for both livestock and for humans is the biggest single area. Like if you, the major pharmaceutical companies around the world, particularly in the US and Europe, one of their major focuses now is on gut-related disorders, because if you look at, and if you Google gut health, you'll get the plethora of books around gut health, because there's now an awakening in the medical community about the importance about gut health and its influence on the immune system and the whole area of gut-related disorders like irritable bowel syndrome, irritable bowel disease, colitis, etc. You know, they're major areas where there's no proven therapeutic treatment. So that's where we're intending to move after livestock. We're already doing it. We've set up a laboratory in Melbourne. We're now doing work to move the technology into human gut health.
And before you do, though, the scope of the market in terms of its agricultural applications
are
immense, aren't they?
They are immense. So if you just pick the use of antibiotics, the worldwide sales of antibiotics into livestock production is around $5 billion per year, US dollars per year. So it's a massive market. That's just the livestock application of that. Of that percentage, 25% is in pigs alone. So it's one of the major portions. So this is big business. And this is the real concern for the animal health pharmaceutical companies like the one that we're negotiating with, Zoetis, which is number one in the world. They're seeing almost a cliff-face drop in antibiotic sales into livestock because, you know, in the US now, there's moves to legislate. Well, they can't use it as antibiotics as growth promotant. States like California have already legislated against the use of antibiotics in livestock unless an animal is sick. So increasingly in Europe now, it's being outlawed. The Australian government is looking at it, you know, this issue. And it's not just antibiotics. In livestock production, they use a heavy metal called zinc oxide, which is quite a powerful antimicrobial in its own right. But it's a heavy metal.
Not great for the diet.
No, but it doesn't break down in the soil. So when an animal, let's say a pig, ingests zinc oxide, it goes, yeah, it does block bacteria. Everyone acknowledges that. But it passes through the system and it becomes a soil pollutant and it does not break down. You know, it's a bit like uranium.
It's staggering to think that that's in the food chain. So you mentioned a moment ago the relationship with Zoetis.
Yes.
So that is very important in terms of the near-term catalyst for Anatara.
Sure.
So where are you in that relationship?
Yeah, so we signed a bit over a year ago an exclusive worldwide option agreement, which we weren't able to disclose the actual amount of that, but the upfront payment, if you followed Anatara's 4Es, I used to say to investors, just look at the subsequent 4Es and all of a sudden the cash went up.
Yep.
You could, you know, you didn't need a calculator. You didn't have to take off your shoes and socks to work out what that number was. That was just for an option, a standstill agreement to evaluate the product. because they didn't want their competitors to get their hands on it. And that was the most creative way to move quickly to get the rights to evaluate the product. They've finished that evaluation and we've announced to the market that we're now moving into negotiations for a worldwide license agreement.
Right. And when do you expect to know more about the outcome of that thinking?
That's shrouded in, you know, as these things are with multinational pharmaceutical companies, that's shrouded in confidentiality under the option agreement and the move to a license agreement. However, having said that, you know, I've been around the traps for a long time and done a lot of these sort of negotiations and brought them all home. So you can count on it's a fairly aggressive timeline to bring that to fruition.
Mel, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. We look forward to hearing more about Annatara over the course of the next little while as this important journey continues to take on momentum. So thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.